Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably... And you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am the smart. I am the smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com or jbsba.com or jimblasingame.com. Either one of those will get you to Small Business Nirvana, where you can find lots of different things, including the opportunities to subscribe to my free newsletter. Hope you'll do that this week. Mike Menzies is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's a longtime member of our Brain Trust and an old friend of ours. He's the president of Easton Bank and Trust in beautiful downtown Easton, Maryland, and he's our good friend. He's the resident banker on the Brain Trust. Mike, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
It's good to have you here. As always, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Let's have a good one. What do you think?
I think we're going to have a wonderful new year. I couldn't be more optimistic. I think all of us are inclined to ponder the challenges because that, as business people, we are always thinking about risk and looking at risk and worrying about risk. But I am truly enthused about the fact that we're going into the second term of this administration, that the president's come out of the box and he's clearly prepared to deal with some huge macro national issues that are long-term issues. And, you know, this business of politics is short-term in nature. I mean, they often can't think beyond tomorrow. And and it excites me that he's thinking long-term and attempting to motivate Congress to think long-term and to take ownership and responsibility for our future. That all leaves me with a feel-good. And while there's no question we're in the business cycle of adjusting for the low-rate environment of the past four or so years, and we will adjust, and we will see some labor cost increases and other types of cost increases, I think this economy is cranking up. Employment's coming online.
We've already fully replaced all of the jobs that were lost in the 2000 recession and then subsequent to 9/11.
Right. So
and 2 million of those jobs that we've replaced at the time that they were lost weren't even viable jobs. They were just jobs that probably never should have been had.
Yeah. Well, I am very optimistic. I don't think we're going to see rates going through the roof, notwithstanding the challenges of the dollar and the deficits. And I think that the administration is going to proceed to find ways to manage the deficits and. We still are the dominant economy and the dominant military power of the world. I just am really excited about the prospects for 05.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, because we're seeing the same things here. The economists who join us on the show are seeing the same things. We do two surveys. We review two surveys with their authors, with their the people who conduct the surveys every month, and both of the surveys are telling us what you just said, basically.
Good.
Did you hear the essence of his message yesterday?
I caught the clips on the news, but I think the essence of his message was freedom and ownership, and I think that's what he was communicating, that that freedom is important. It's important to have freedom by promoting freedom throughout the world, and ownership, personal accountability, and ownership is a pathway to the future, which is sort of a classic Republican position. But we do need to take ownership. There's no question about it. You're the last person you had on the show was talking about ownership from a personal consumption standpoint. Mm-hmm. And we have to take ownership as individuals, as small businesses, and as corporate America.
Well, and, one of the things that really changed, really has improved where we are today was the passage of the Welfare Reform Act in the 90s.
Yes.
We're still reaping incredible benefits, incredible dividends from that right now.
Yes. Yeah.
And so my point is that was an example of eliminating one of the statist type of programs, not eliminating, but modifying it so that it makes people become more productive. And if we can get some of these other 20th century socialistic type of programs more based on the market, like Social Security, for example.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
If we can, and healthcare, if we can get this more market based, and less based on the government, then I think if the welfare example is a good example, then we could be headed for a really great 21st century.
Yeah, absolutely.
If we can make those things happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that those realities will mature as we recognize that that as 78 million of us head towards retirement starting mm-hmm. in 2013. We're going to have a choice. We're going to find a way to...
Mike, hold on to that thought. I got to stop you. We got to go to a break, folks. It's 20 till. We'll be right back with our good friend Michael Menzies.
This ain't no place for losers. All the years of my...
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Mike Menzies is here, too, because he's a good friend of ours and the resident banker, I should say, of our Brain Trust. He's been a member of our Brain Trust for a long time. And, Mike, one of the things that I want to talk to you about is how small businesses and our banks are going to get together in the future with regard to our intellectual property and our intangible assets. And before you talk about that, I want to establish some research that has been found in more than one case, by the way. And that is, and I'm trying to remember the name of the guy who wrote it, who did the research. And I've got his name somewhere because I actually mentioned this in some articles that I've written, that he found that in the 70s, the average business had a ratio of 70 to 30 tangible to intangible assets. Most of their assets were things you could kick and paint and lift and had a serial number probably. And the other 30 were intangibles like patents and systems and things like that. And he says in the 21st century, that ratio has basically inverted. It's now 70 intangible and 30 tangible. Now, I'm seeing that same thing, and I bet you are too on the balance sheets of the small businesses that you're getting that you're working with. But here's the problem: when I used to go to my banker and to borrow money, I was mostly borrowing about tangible things. Now, if I need to borrow money, it might be intangible things like developing a website. How do we get together, small business owners and bankers, on this in the 21st century for our intangible property?
Well, I think what you're describing in part, Jim, is the evolution of our economy. If you think in basic terms, we migrated from an agricultural economy to a manufacturing economy mm-hmm. to a technology economy. And we live in a technology, service-based technology economy today that is migrating rapidly into a retirement economy. Because, again, 78 million of our 292 million Americans are going to start turning 65 in 2013. And those 78 million people control two-thirds of all the financial assets of this nation mm-hmm. and the lion's share of all real estate. So we are going to evolve, like it or not, from an economy that's service technology-driven to an economy that's sort of service technology retirement-driven. And that logically means that that non-financial, non-hard capital-type assets are assets that businesses are going to employ to make money. So then if I heard your question right, it's how do small businesses and banks connect on the value of this intellectual property versus tangible assets? And while I don't know that I would profess to be an expert in answering that question, my feelings would be as follows, that all assets are worth their cash flow. When you look at the business of valuation, be it an accountant valuing a business or somebody valuing real estate, when it comes down to the bottom line, the final valuation is really based on how much money can it generate. So bankers and business people will need to figure out how to express the value of intangible assets in terms of their cash flow. Mm-hmm. What can it produce? So websites, for example, if the website that's being designed is strictly de novo, it's strictly going off and trying something experimental, they're going to need capital to do that, not bank debt. Mm-hmm. They're going to need some form of capital to do totally pro forma experimental development. And that's sort of always been the history of banking.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm inclined to believe that we'll see venture capital evolving in this relatively low interest rate environment. We'll see venture capitalists out there funding these kinds of things.
Well, the thing about, Mike, when one of the jokes that I've always teased small bankers about is sometimes I call them serial number bankers.
Yeah.
You know, they like things with serial numbers. They like things with a legal description so that they can file a UCC on it.
That's sort of
especially the lazy bankers. They're the ones that like that the most. And you're certainly not a lazy banker. You're a creative banker. You're the kind of guy that I wish all small business owners had you as a banker, Mike. But the thing is that small business owners don't always understand what you just said. And bankers, I fear, are not doing a good job of explaining that to small business owners. What you just said was something that I've been saying for a long time. You've heard me say this, and you said it to yourself. A banker told me a long time ago, he said, Jim, if you can only bring me one sheet of paper, bring me your cash flow statement that shows me how your idea is going to pay me back every month.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so what you're saying is if you want a banker to loan you $25,000 to build a website or to improve a website or to add some kind of intangible property so that you can do more business, show me on the cash flow statement how that activity is going to drive your cash flow.
Yeah,
isn't that what you're talking about?
Absolutely. And you know, we've done not just a few, I'd say many loans that were based on knowledge workers applying their knowledge, not having necessarily hard financial assets.
Right.
We've recently worked with a young lady who's gone into the seafood brokerage business, and she's got a computer and a mind and knows how to talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't have inventory. She doesn't have manufacturing. She doesn't have any of this stuff. All she does is she markets a brand, and she makes a lot of money doing it.
And she has a track record, so that's good.
She was brand new. She just had a good concept, and she expressed it in terms of cash flow.
Mike, stand by. We've got to take a quick break. Folks, there's this thing about regulators, though, that enters into all this equation. I'm going to get Mike to help us understand how he's going to deal with the regulators when he makes a loan like this. Tintail, stay with us.
My parents live in the same small town. Children play in the park. They don't know I'm alone in the dark, even though
we're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Mike Menzies is our guest. And our good friend, Michael, is the president of the Eastern Bank and Trust. Mike, give us that website, please.
www.eastonbankandtrust.com. How about that?
I'm so proud of that website, Mike. I don't know what
it's all
do.
Your fault.
I'm so proud Eastern Bank and Trust has a website. And folks, do me a favor, just so that Mike won't think that I pestered him in vain. Go to that website today. Just everybody listening, just flood that website with activity. Eastern Bank and Trust, go there today just for me. Just do it as a favor for me. Easton, EASTON, bankandtrust.com.
Oh, my.
Mike, it'll shut your server down, Mike.
Yeah.
Mike, we're talking about getting these loans for intangible property, getting money out of a bank for intangibles, like developing a website, developing content for a website, that kind of thing, or some idea that we have. When you make a loan, there's this other thing that I know that you have to do. You have to justify that loan to the regulators. Now you are a visionary. You're an enlightened individual. You're a small business owner's banker, if there ever was one. You get it, Mike. I get it. I'm a small business owner. My question is, when you have to justify this loan to a that doesn't have a serial number to a regulator, are they going to get it?
Well, I think the answer is that it's the job of the bankers to educate the regulator on the basis of their decision-making, and as long as their decision-making is safe and sound in the whole scheme of things, the regulators are not going to have a problem. The regulators have a problem when there isn't a good decision-making process. If there's a good decision-making process and the risks that are being taken are reasonable relative to the capital of the company, the regulators are fine. We've got $12 million of capital. If we go stick $10 million in an unsecured venture capital intellectual property transaction, they're going to clobber us. But if we take transaction risks that are reasonable relative to our size and our income, they don't have a problem with that. And they know we're going to have to change our risk-taking over time to stay in business because, as I mentioned, we've gone from agricultural to manufacturing to technology to a technology retirement service type industry.
Right.
And that's going to continue to change.
Well, you know, Mike, another thing that it seems to me that's going to have to happen, in the old days or even today, if I come to you and I say, okay, Mike, I need to buy this piece of equipment. It's $10,000. And here's the serial number. I want you to loan me $5,000. Well, that doesn't take a lot of brain power. You probably wouldn't even ask me for the financial, for my cash flow statement on that, because I'm loaning you 50%. I'm asking you for 50% of the value of a piece of property that you're going to get to file a UCC on. So that's not a lot of brain power. So, but with the other direction, the new direction that business is going in, you and I are both going to have to be, we're going to have to work harder. We're going to have to be more creative, aren't we? As a small business owner, I'm going to have to give you, make a better case for the business decision for asking you for this money than if it were a $10,000 machine.
Yeah, you just answered your own question in that it forces all of us to think. When you come in with a wobulator that doesn't depreciate more than 2% a year, and you make an 80% loan against that wobulator, and you can resell that wobulator 10 years from now for 80% of what you paid for it, there is no knowledge required to make that decision. But when you're buying things like computer systems that the day you drive it off the showroom floor are worth less than half of what you paid for it, and 2 years from now, under Moore's Law, are worth nothing, the value of tangible assets has been changed in this new economy. Look at the volume of cars and the volume of tangible assets that we're cranking into this economy. They don't have value the way they used to.
That's right.
So we've got to make loans based upon knowledge working, based upon looking at the business concept, how well you can, the entrepreneur can apply it to their marketplace, and the cash flows. More and more, we're going to be making cash flow loans. We're not going to be making loans just based on hard collateral.
So what he's saying, folks, is if you don't understand how to justify your case with the cash flow explanation, then you're not likely to get the loan, or it's going to take a lot longer, and there's going to be a lot more brain damage. One thing about it, banking in the future between small business owners and their bankers is going to be more sophisticated than it ever has been before. Michael, thank you for helping us today. You've helped us an awful lot understand this, and we're looking forward to our next visit already.
Thank you, sir. It's always a pleasure to be with you. My best to your lovely bride.
Thanks. Mike Menzies, ladies and gentlemen, the president of Eastern Bank & Trust. Don't forget, EasternBankAndTrust.com. Go there today. Gotta go. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.